When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hello, and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood. You know, the real conversations.
Tips and tricks.
Products we love.
And brands we can't live without.
Let's get into it.
My God, do you know what? I'm really cold. I'm literally sat here, like, shivering. This is not how it's supposed to be today. It's supposed to be nice.
Why? Because it's the start of spring and now we're expecting it to be 18 degrees and balmy every day.
Well, yeah, exactly. The sun's supposed to set at 7:30, isn't it, from like Sunday? And now,
do you know what I'm loving as well?
Freezing.
Seeing it on Instagram that people are like, "We made it. We made it through." You know, but then it's still like vest, long sleeve top, hoodie, thick coat.
Yeah, it really is.
How are you? How was your weekend?
I'm all right. I'm good. I had like actually a busy weekend, really busy weekend. We went out on Saturday evening and then I hosted.
Where'd you go?
We went to a restaurant with some of the parents from Axel's football team on Saturday night.
You're so keen, aren't you? You love that shit.
It's so funny though, right? It was supposed to be a table of 12. I'm not in that group WhatsApp. Like, I refuse to be in it. I'm like, I'm not a bit, that's James, that's your thing. You're in charge of knowing where Axel's playing, all of that, not to do with me. But then that also means I didn't know anything about the plan. I didn't know what time the table was. I didn't know any of it. And we turned up and I was like, oh, I thought like this person was going and that person was going. And actually like half the people dropped out.
Oh no.
I know. I felt really bad for the person who'd organised it. But we were there, you know, keenos. And then
absolute keen as mustard, yeah, you lot.
Yeah. And then Sunday I hosted a roast for how many people do we have? 12, maybe more?
What's the actual fuck?
I know. And that, but it was actually lovely. It was really chilled. My friends from school and their kids, and yeah, it was nice. That's good.
Georgia, that's very grown up and very social of you. No, it is grown up. Like, it is quite grown up to be hosting roasts and stuff. Like, I don't think at the age of 41, I'm not at the sort of dinner party,
not
hosting
quite there
lunch
yet.
Stage. Well, I don't have a kitchen at the moment. So that's the kind of overriding.
Do you know what I did do, though? I did fully set the barbecue on fire. Like, fully. I was searing the beef before I put it in the oven. And I'm not joking, there was an actual fire. And then I also did set a tea towel on fire. So maybe I'm not grown up enough yet either.
Who thinks that Georgia should have her own like mini cookery show? Like, you are searing the beef before. I mean, what?
You
I do chicken
do
boil in a bag.
No,
I do.
You don't.
Know the chicken in a bag?
No,
yeah,
you
do,
don't.
Yeah,
oh
yeah,
my
I just
God.
Put it in the oven in a bag and then just undo it.
I
have to do anything
wished,
to it.
I wish I knew this about you. You eat in bed and you use chicken in a bag. I really don't know what to say.
Listen,
but I think we should move on.
How are you?
Say something nice. No. Say something good.
Please send me a message if you also buy those chicken in a bags from Tesco's. Listen, they do. What's gross about them?
They're just like
someone
boiled
else
chicken.
You don't boil the chicken. You put
no, but
the
it
chicken.
Is. It's in. I know what they are. They're in a bag and they're all done and prepped. For me, that is no. That's like just no, it's sacrilege. It's
Do you realise that if I had to buy a chicken that wasn't in a bag, I would then have to know what to do with it in terms of like, okay, I would, okay, so, okay, right. Chicken is my forte.
Okay, cool.
If I had to do one piece of meat, it would be chicken. And I put butter underneath the skin.
Yeah.
And then I put salt and pepper. And then I put bacon across the chicken.
Lovely. Yeah. You don't need it in bag. You put a lemon up its bum. You could put some herbs in its bum as well. And then that's it.
What
you're done.
Herbs?
Like any. Like you could put, I actually quite like rosemary and thyme with chicken, but anything. Just put it all in there, garlic in there, whatever. You do know what you're doing. You don't need the bag.
Yeah, I do.
And you can put it in the air fryer. Really,
well, my air fryer's too small for that, even though I've got a big one. Although maybe I just need to take the bottom tray. I'll figure it out. Figure it out, guys. Yesterday, however, I cooked one of the best spaghetti bolognese I've ever cooked in my life. Got home from London, went round Regent Park afterwards with the kids, like bit of work, bit of time with them. And then I was thinking I could put chicken nuggets and chips here in the air fryer and it'd take me 9 minutes. Or I could cook spaghetti bolognese for an hour. And I did it.
Wow.
I did it.
See, well done. You do. Thanks. I think, yeah, you are grown up enough to cook for a dinner party. Doesn't have to be complicated. Like it doesn't. You could do it. You totally could.
The older I get, the more I realise that I'm actually quite happy not socialising as much as I did before. We're getting to the point where we love being together as a family. To be fair, Dozer was away this weekend, so I was solo parenting. I only had the little two. And I just wanted to be with them. You know, like I wanted to give Luna and Kit my undivided attention. We did crafts, we made Easter eggs, you know, we went for lovely walks, we were like playing with her dog. Like I the more people that come round, the more I sort of say to them, oh yeah, no, just go and watch telly, and I don't actually talk to them. And I loved every moment of it this weekend. We all slept in our bedroom, which Doz never lets me do, so I had Kit on the mattress on the floor and Luna in bed with me. I woke up to her stroking my face this morning.
Oh my god,
one of the cutest things in the world. Yeah, it was lovely.
Yeah, it is. Do you know what, I agree, like that's my socializing done now for a good month.
Till Easter Sunday.
Yeah. But no, I know exactly what you mean. Like giving the kids more time, like for sure.
Yeah.
And we've started doing a thing in the week where we park the car about, it's probably like a 20 minute walk from school. And there's a coffee shop there. And so we'll get like coffee, croissant, whatever. And then Gigi rides her bike to school from there, and then Axel usually like kicks the football and we have a chat. But it's so nice.
How
because
nice.
They like, it's before school, there's no one bothering me on the phone, like nothing else is going on, and it's just us chatting. Like it is really nice. It is lovely, because I do think it's so hard to get caught up. And actually I do it when I'm at home. I get caught up in jobs that I need to do, or you know, like it's just stuff that's happening. And so, but when on though, like in those moments, there is nothing else, like nothing
else
can be
done. It's just you and them.
Yeah.
It's just you and them.
It is.
And I've got, I know that She's All That is a 12, so don't judge me here, but I do still love it with Freddie Prinze Jr. Do you remember how good that film is?
Yes.
And obviously Luna's got to the point where she's watched she's watched Titanic now, and I just fast forward the bit where they get steep. Well, she's learning about it at school. So I was like, oh, let's watch the film. And then I suddenly remembered that Leo and Kate have a bit of a bonk, don't they, in that steamy old car. So I've covered her eyes up for that bit. But we were watching She's All That together. And it's just like, I've got a little mate that I can watch films with now. It's just brilliant.
Yeah, it is good.
It's
and
great.
Actually, the conversation we're having on today's podcast is actually with somebody who's been through all of this. Like we're talking about all the stages that we're enjoying, and actually she's been through it. She's even got grandchildren, and it's funny to hear it from that perspective and to hear about all the stuff. Like you're saying, you're sitting down covering Luna's eyes, but what about the times when there's an unexpected visitor and you have the realization in the morning that there's someone else in your house? That conversation, you guys will hear it in a minute. Oh my god, that hits home and hits real. Like that really scared me.
Yeah, it really touched the nerve, didn't it? We should tell you here that this podcast was recorded at our amazing live event that we did at Albright last week. So Wednesday evening, we probably had between 50 and 60 of you. We met so many gorgeous women that evening. I can't tell you. It was like all of our, like the last 6 years just coming together in one night. And people were so gorgeous to us and they were saying such lovely things, and actually to put kind of faces to names, and people were like, oh, I feel like I know you because I've been listening to the podcast since day one. So thank you for those of you that came. For those of you that couldn't make it, this podcast was recorded live that night. We had one of the best raconteurs in the business sitting on the panel to kick us off. She's got a very famous son. And actually, I think what came out of the conversation was, you know, the second sort of, not second chance, but her sort of second career that she's now in at the age, well, she's in her 60s. It was a beautiful conversation. Please stick around for it. Who are we talking to today, George?
It's only Hilary Whitehall.
Please welcome our first guest for this evening. Actress, podcaster, YouTuber, mum to three, the woman who says hello to anybody according to her son, Jack. It is the absolutely wonderful Hilary Whitehall.
Yay!
Turned up in the most amazing leather jacket as well.
At 25-year-old leather
there you
jacket.
They just get better with age.
Yeah, they do.
You know the way to a lady's heart, don't you? Give her a microphone and a glass of champagne because I love the sound of my own voice and I like a drink. So.
Well, that's perfect.
Double win.
Now, when we record these podcasts normally, we're either on Zoom or we're in a studio. So this is a bit different, but we usually ask our guests like how they are, how their day's been.
Very good. I have been working with Jack and Michael this afternoon, so I'm feeling exhausted. Just saying, we had to do something called additional dialogue recording on the new series that we've made for Netflix, which is called Fatherhood with My Father. And I have pointed out several times to Jack, you've picked the wrong parent yet again, because I'm the one that's allegedly the expert on parenting. And you've picked him again. But anyway, that's what he's done.
Is it exhausting spending time with a pair of them?
I mean, they never stop. They literally never stop. And there are moments when Jack will say to me, can you just take him away for half an hour whilst I just sort a few things out and then bring him back in fresh? I go, okay.
What is home life for you? Do you want to just tell everybody your setup, how many kids you've got, grandchildren?
Sure. So obviously I have Michael, who's quite a handful. We now do a podcast because I figured we might as well keep him busy. But that's quite interesting because rather like your good selves, I said, do you want to see what we're doing tomorrow? And he says, nah, I'll just wing it.
Hold on a minute. I don't say that.
Oh, no, sorry.
No, that's me.
Oh, that's you. Right, yeah. And he's very good at listening to the email question that comes in, which is usually a query. That's the idea, is that we answer people's problems, and he will then tell an anecdote that is not remotely related to the question. But I just let him do it because it's funny usually. So we do that, and then Jack, I've got Jack, Molly, and Barney, who are now all in their 30s.
How did that happen?
Yeah. That is terrifying. And Jack has one baby who is 5 months old, and my daughter Molly has a 3-year-old and an 8-month-old. So I'm now Granza. My children always called me Mumza. So I thought I'll be Granza, because obviously the other mummy, the mother-in-law is Granny. So I thought we can't have two grannies. So I went for Granza.
How do you decide all those names? Because there's Nan, Nanny, Grandma.
Exactly.
Grandma was set on it. Sometimes when I really want to wind her up, I say to the kids, go over to Shushu, which is the Swahili name for granny, and I go, say hi, Grandma.
Hello, Grandma.
Don't you ever call me that.
In public.
Yeah, in public, ever again. So yeah. you were set on.
Well, I mean, Molly and I came up with Gramza because she had the first grandchild, and I said, well, I'm Mumza, so I might as well be Gramza. So I'm called Gramza.
Would it be safe to say that you have had a very much a sort of second career that's come in later on in life?
Definitely. I mean, Michael definitely has. Michael was a very successful agent for decades, and he looked after people like Colin Firth and Judy Dench and Daniel Day-Lewis and
Nigel Havers.
Nigel Havers is a running motif in our podcast.
What a fod he is, though, isn't he?
I have a very good story about Nigel Havers, actually, because he was literally our best man at our wedding, and he is Jack's godfather. And when I gave birth to Jack in the very expensive Portland hospital, I'd had one or two issues beforehand, so I ended up with a gynecologist or obstetrician who said, okay, we're going to do it at the Portland. Michael went,
okay.
Delivered Jack, and Jack came out, as Michael has put in the Netflix series, with jazz hands, so there was quite a lot of damage down there, just saying. I had my feet up in the stirrups, and Michael had rung Nigel and said, you better get to the hospital because the baby's been born and you're going to be godfather. Do you want to come and say hi? He was off to a black tie dinner. And he, at that point, was incredibly famous because he was doing a series called The Charmer. And he walked into the reception of where we went, the delivery suite, where there was a very nice nurse. And he said, "Oh, hello, I'm Nigel Hales. I've come to see the Whitehalls." And rather than saying, "OK, let me go and see what's happening," she just went, "They're in there." And pointed to the delivery room. So that I first saw Nigel through my feet in the stirrups.
Oh, my God.
Walk into the room. And he went, "Hi, Hales." And I went, "Hi, Nigel." So Nigel's seen more of me than the obstetrician.
Oh, God. No.
Yeah. Whoa. Wasn't great.
That is.
Yeah. He's had therapy ever since.
And was that a thing, having the godparents come when you're like...
Well, I mean, it wasn't like a thing to actually get them into the delivery room. I mean, the theory was that he would come and wait outside. Michael would go take the baby out to see him, etc., etc. I think it was just because she was so starstruck. She just went...
Set him in. How do we feel about visitors in the delivery room?
Well, listen, let's have a conversation about that, because how do we feel about mums in the delivery?
Oh, no, I'm all for that.
What, your own mother?
Oh, to show 100%. Who had their mother at the birth?
Ooh. Not that many. Ooh.
One, two, three.
Okay. And one of them was my friend.
What did you
was your mum?
My mother, no, my mother, when I was having babies, had a full-time career, so she didn't have time to be in the delivery room. I think she probably would have quite liked to have been in there, but she was busy doing her thing. Wow. But I did say to... Actually, Molly had her first child just towards the very end of COVID. So she had a pregnancy with lockdown. And then literally the week before Peggy was born, Toby was allowed to go in, thank God, because there was that whole period where not even fathers could go in. Yep. She was slightly dreading it, but he was allowed in. But I was in the car park actually waiting for the AA because their car had gone wrong. And he called me and he said, "Hills, can you come to the hospital? Because the AA are coming and I need to be in the delivery room." So I went, okay. So that's what you do.
You just touched on your mum having, you know, a career, and that's why she couldn't be there.
Yeah.
But can we talk about your career when you had young children?
Yes. I mean, I was an actress at the time when I had young children, so that meant I worked about 10 minutes a year. I was a jobbing actress. So it wasn't a huge issue, but weirdly, I did work... After I had Jack, I was doing a series, so I took him into the studio with me and used to go and breastfeed during rehearsals and things.
That's quite a thing, isn't it?
It's quite a thing. And actually, my mother, because she was quite starstruck, she said, I will be your nanny for this. So she did come with me, and she did the same when I had Barney as well. And then my husband very sweetly took pity on me when I had just Jack and Molly, and he cast me in a job that he was producing and cast me as a woman with two small children. So I said, who are going to play the children then? He said, well, that'll be Jack and Molly then. So we then employed a nanny to come with me to the studio there. So I was very lucky in that respect. But it's a juggling act, as I see with my daughter, who is, well, she had to go back for her second child at 3 months for various reasons. The guilt, oh my God, I kept saying, he's not going to know. Don't worry.
Yeah, that's more about, that's 100% more about us, I think, rather than about them. Yeah. It's like you said to her, he won't even know.
He's still going to know. Never. Did you experience any mum guilt?
Constantly, I still do. Even now. I have Gramsa guilt now. So I'll go and see, Molly's very efficient and she's very on it. So she will say, could you come because the childcare's not going to be here. Could you come in 2 weeks' time and do Monday? And I go, yeah, okay. Jack will ring me and say, could you come in an hour, Mother, and do the rest of the afternoon? I go, no, Jack, I can't. Funny enough, I've got some other things on.
I feel really guilty
because I know I've done it for Molly, and I think, I should be helping him because, you know, Roxy's got to go and do something, he's got to go and do something, and then they're cobbling together childcare and getting the cleaning lady to help out.
Is there a guilt around this, though? Because, you know, like, we talk about mum guilt and going to work and not being there and having, you know, feelings surrounding that. But is there a guilt among the nans and grandmas and stuff?
Yes,
there is.
Definitely.
That you're not doing enough or you're doing too much.
Yes, particularly when the other mother-in-law then wades in as well. Thanks for that.
So what we need to do...
We're shining you.
Yes, it's
like...
She said, do you know Lucy's got both children for the weekend? And I go, great, that's fantastic, Molly, thinking... Are you saying this to make me feel guilty that I haven't had them for the weekend?
So really, we need to play the grandmas off against each other.
Yes, you do.
So they're fighting to look after our children.
Exactly, yeah. That's what you're going to do.
Oh, my mum's thrilled that we don't see Dills' mum now.
I'm still not talking to her.
No, still not talking to her.
Okay.
So does that mean she wades in more?
No, she lives in Kenya. She doesn't give a shit. But Sarah, she just loves the fact that we're not talking.
That's why I went wrong.
Because she's always going to win. She's always going to win.
Love it.
God, that's really interesting.
Do you feel any kind of pressure around, I guess, having this big career now and you know...
I mean, it's very sweet of you to call it a big career, I would call it.
You're everywhere.
You are. Well,
everywhere.
Yeah, it's very sweet of you. I mean, I'm very much a nepo parent.
I'll
talk us through that.
Yeah, so Michael and I are the original nepo parents because we are so hanging on to Jack's coattails. And I did point out to Jack, I said, you have created these two Frankenstein monsters, so don't give me a hard time because you encouraged us.
What sort of parent were you, are you? How does it change?
Well, interestingly, you would expect, I mean, if you all know Michael, you would expect him to be bad cop to my good cop. But actually, it was the other way around. I mean, I think as mothers, you are there all day, every day, doing the sort of heavy lifting of discipline and manners and all of that. And then in swans daddy, who, of course, has novelty value and can just arse around with them. I'm trying to get them to bed, actually. Yeah, no, but we're going to have another book.
And then we're going to wrestle.
Yes, exactly.
Really
yeah,
wake
yeah.
them up before bed.
Yeah, exactly. And then we're going to have a hot chocolate. No, we're not. Yes, we are.
Also, why do they find that part fun? Like, genuinely, and I think this is, and I think I'm okay saying this out loud, but even if I haven't seen them all day, I could have an hour with them, but when it's bath time and bedtime, I just fucking want them to go to bed.
Yeah. Witching hour.
Are you trying to do characters from Scooby-Doo and like making a fucking assault course? I've just tried to chill them out.
Yeah, yeah. But well, making the assault course and then leaving you to clear it up. Yeah, once they go down and have a G&T.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're bad cop.
I was bad cop because I was very hot on manners. I'm very big on that, even with my grandchildren.
What's a no-no in your eyes?
Well, I think it's very important that you sound like a crack record, but I think it's very important that when little is talking to you, they look you in the eye. You know, don't look at your boots, look them in the eye.
And your boobs?
Boots.
Boots.
Yes. Say, you know, it's like, I'm here, I'm not down there, I'm here. And I know some children are shy, but I think if you can teach them to actually engage with people eye to eye, it's much better. Mm-hmm. And please and thank yous. You know, there's a lot of, can I have chocolate? What's the magic word? Begins with a P. Please, can I have a chocolate? Yeah, please, can I? Yes, you may have a chocolate. I think pleases and thank yous are essential.
If you guys listen to Hillary's amazing podcast that she does with Michael, it's hilarious. Life at home seems still to this day, even though we had the conversation earlier on about you saying, you know, I've got, can I say elderly
husband?
Talking about elderly husband. But he still says things like, warm it up before you whip it in.
Oh, my God.
Why are we
Would
going here?
Would you like
here?
To explain that to people that don't know what I'm talking about?
Okay, so somebody had asked about swap-ins for mashed potato if you didn't have any butter. So I said, oh, well, there are a few. You can go Italian and put some olive oil in. I mean, Michael normally nods off in these conversations because he can't cook.
See, this is my chat. I love this chat.
Yeah, mashed potato. What do you do if you've got no, if you suddenly realise you've got no butter? So I was saying you could put olive oil in like the Italians. Or I said, you know, worst case scenario, you could just put some milk in. But actually, key to this is my mother speaking now, you have to put a little gap in the mashed potato and warm the milk. You need to warm it before you whip it in. At which point Michael said, yes, well, I find that actually I like to warm it before I whip it in. And I looked at him and I said, I beg your pardon. He said, I'm a gentleman. So, yeah.
So talking of warming it up before you whip it in,
yes.
And it's slightly creepy because I'm going to ask you about your children now.
Ooh.
But when they get to that age, I don't know how old everyone's kids are in the audience today, but obviously Georgia and I are at 10, 7 and 5 and similar sort of
seven,
ages.
Yeah. Yeah.
How weird and awkward is that part where they start dating and bringing people home?
Oh, God, I feel sick.
That's how we navigate that part.
I mean, Jack became quite famous when he was very young. So by the age of 18, 19, he was already on television, et cetera, et cetera. And having been, he will forgive me for saying this because he would say the same. He was a bit of a joke at school. He was every girl's best friend because he made them laugh. you know, he tried to laugh them into bed, but it didn't really quite work. And his best friend was like the best looking guy in the school, so he got all the girls, and he was like this slightly joke figure.
He teed it all up for him, didn't he? He probably told all the jokes. Exactly. Then switched the good looking
guy. In came Freddie and got the girl. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, Freddie and Jack.
So when he became a little bit famous, he sort of went mad. I mean, literally went mad. And I do remember many, many mornings when I was thinking, okay, I know there's someone up there. I'm going to have to get her out before Michael Whitehall gets up.
How does that feel? Like, the first time that happens, right, pretend it's never happened.
Yeah.
How does that feel?
I think you just have to almost have a sort of out-of-body experience and turn into a Gruppenführer and go up there, knock on the door. So, I mean, I'm coming in.
Knock on the door and yeah. go in.
Knock on the door, go in and say, right, Jack, okay, you have got precisely 6 minutes. He's in the bath, out. I'm so sorry. Good morning. How are you? Lovely to meet you. You need to get dressed and go now. And then goes down and think, oh my God, I can't believe I've just done that. And then think, please don't make a noise on the stairs because if he hears, he'll go nuts.
I'm like, but we've got Alexa now. So we can just go, Alexa, make an announcement in.
Oh my God, are you joking? Can that, can it do
yeah,
that?
It can. I just thought of that.
That's very good. That is, yes, yeah. Yes.
Because at the moment we're, Alexa, make an announcement in Axel's room. Axel, come down for dinner. But
are you joking?
Yes, you can say, Axel, please could you get that young lady out of your room. Before your father gets
removes
home.
The person who doesn't feel properly.
She's had an experience of this already. Her son is 7.
Oh.
Yeah. He keeps kissing girls at school.
No, it's not. It's actually, it's so I can't funny. Actually. No,
are you having a hot flush?
Yeah, I am. So I was at another parent's house and we were all sitting in the garden. It was in the summer. So he was actually only in year two then. And they were like, oh, Axel and her name.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, Axel and what? Oh, yeah, she's coming round to your house for a play day. And at the time we had a lovely lady who used to pick them up from school. So she had arranged the play day. So I was like, oh, really? Yeah, apparently they're going to kiss in his bedroom.
He's cringed,
right? And I was like, oh my God. Okay, right. So then I like go home and say to my husband, right, how are we playing this? Like, what sort of parents are we? Are we cool parents? Are we street parents? Can we just get this straight now? I didn't think we'd be having this conversation right now, but let's have it.
Yeah.
So he was like, oh, no, I think we're cool parents. We're cool parents. So I was like, okay. So I'm like, hey, Axel. So you and he's like, Mum, stop it. Anyway, it goes on. And so I keep trying to dig like at him. So what's going on? He goes, listen, if we're just kissing the playground when the teacher's not looking. And I was like, what? I was all for like, how dare this girl do this to you? Oh God, are you okay, darling? Like, I'm here, let me cuddle you. I'm sorry, you're probably like, you know, mortified and oh. And he went, yeah, she kisses me here. And I was like,
don't move your finger.
Are you okay? Are you okay? And he went, yeah, it's great. I was like, okay, anyway, so now they've split up. George. And I actually went to school the other day because he'd forgotten his football kit and this girl was at reception. This girl said, I'll take it to him. And I went, no, don't worry, I will. And you know when you're in that situation, you come away and you're like, oh my God, grow up.
It's really mean to a 7-year-old. Really mean.
But I just can't help it. Like, I just can't help it.
We had a slightly embarrassing situation with Molly when she was at nursery school. She was about 3, 4. And she came back one evening and Michael came back from work and then it read some books. And then he said, okay, it's bedtime now. And he went to kiss Molly and Molly put her tongue in his mouth. And he went, Molly, what? The bloody hell was that? And she said, oh, it's a tongue kiss. And he said, a tongue kiss? What? How do you know about tongue kisses? And she said, well, because William at nursery school taught me to do a tongue kiss. So Michael came down and said, I won't use the surname, but she came down and said, William taught Molly to do a tongue kiss. And I said,
Prince William, is it? No,
sadly not. We then did say, Molly, perhaps tongue kissing not a good thing.
Yeah,
you have maybe to. You should just pass that back to William.
Save that for secondary school.
Exactly.
We'll be right back after this short break.
Welcome back to this episode of Made by Mamas. Now, where were we? Is there a difference between, because both Georgia and I have got boys and girls.
Yes.
Well, boy and a girl.
Yep.
Slight differences around.
Yeah, I mean, Molly was... she was a late developer. She was tiny for years. I mean, she was in the netball team. God knows how she was in a netball team because it was like, you know, netball team, Molly. But she got going quite late. But again, we had to have the conversation. I did march her off to the family planning clinic at 16. I said, right, I don't want to talk about this. We're going to the family planning clinic, just getting it sorted out. They'll tell you all the answers, etc. I don't need to do this, but we do need to go together because I need to make sure that you've been.
Do you feel like, who do you feel sort of more pressure with? The girls, because they would, you know, if they got pregnant, that they would be carrying them. Or the boys to not get someone pregnant when they're that age.
I think it's equally horrendous, that thought.
It's horrendous.
It is. Yeah. I think, you know, the thought of a boy getting somebody pregnant and then having to be responsible for that human being for the rest of their lives is daunting.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, Michael used to say, I dread the doorbell going and somebody's a girl standing there with a baby saying, this is Jack or Barney's baby.
Oh, it's I thought that was going to happen with my dad when he was alive because he was so good looking. Oh, I just kept thinking there'd be like...
Be a sibling.
Dong, hello, please. Your brother. Oh, Brazil, because he lived there for such a long time. I'm still expecting that to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't be a bachelor for that long.
Yeah.
No children.
I'll keep you updated, guys, on the podcast if that happens.
I mean, I did make the point to Molly because she was a girl and she was my daughter. I did make the point. I said, look, if you want to have options in life and a career, et cetera, probably best not to bring another human being into that equation too early.
Right.
I'd wait till she got that.
It's interesting you say that because I think, I don't know, I didn't think about having children. It just happened. And I didn't think about my career or how it would affect it. Did you have those conversations with Molly?
I did. I was in a slightly different situation because I did marry somebody much older than me. He had not had children with the two previous long-term relationships he'd been in. And he said, I would like to have children. And I said, right, well, we better get on with it because of your age. You know, obviously you want to enjoy these children. It then weirdly took me a long time to actually have them because I had two miscarriages with big, big gaps between them. And I thought, I'm never going to actually have a child. And time was ticking on. But then we had three very quickly. But I did say to Molly, and she actually said, you know, I want to be a mother more than anything else. And she is now a mother. But interestingly, I thought she would be an absolute natural and she's found it very challenging, very challenging because she has a career as well. Mm-hmm. Whereas I didn't have quite the same pressures on me.
Mm. How you feel around motherhood and the things that have really surprised you about it. So you've mentioned that obviously Molly had a really challenging time, probably because she's a career girl as well.
Yeah.
Are there elements of motherhood that you felt you didn't get right looking back on it?
I mean, how long have you got?
Oh, how long have we got?
Yeah, I mean, my mother, interestingly, didn't have... Her mother died when she was 2 and her father died when she was 8. And she was then brought up by a maiden aunt and her mother, who by then had dementia. So when she had her first child at 21 and she had to leave university because she'd had a child... I mean, she'd got married and had a child. She had no role model, so she had to make it up as she went. So she was... She was actually great for me. Although she was working, because she went back and got a qualification when I went to secondary school at 11. She went and did finished off a degree and then had a career. She was very, very supportive. Even if it was from the end of a phone, I would ring her up and say, I think I've just killed Jack. He's fallen off the bed. That moment, you know, when they bash their heads. Killed Jack. Did he scream when he hit the guy? Yes, he did. He'll be fine. She was great. She was a great fund of information for me. And I also, the other big, big, big blessing that I had was that my brother was a GP and he married a GP.
Oh, that's handy.
Said GP had a baby 3 months before I had Jack.
Amazing.
So I literally just would call her up. She ran the baby clinic. Now, she was interesting because she had run the baby clinic before she had a baby and she used to extol the virtues of breastfeeding as she should within the NHS. Breast is best, all of that, blah, blah. She said, I then had a baby and I couldn't breastfeed. And she said, I completely changed my advice once I'd had a baby. And I ran the baby clinics in a very different way.
That's so interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what do you think you would tell the girls about thinking about being mothers and their careers?
Oh, George.
I was just thinking about that.
Yeah, I didn't. I mean, I didn't think about it at all until I met Dozer. So Dozer. It wasn't. You know, I really. That's my husband.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Dozer. Paul.
Paul. He doesn't look like a Paul.
He doesn't. He also hates it. So Dozer. We call him Dozer. And I think
I think that was really, I really love having conversations with women where they say, you know, all I've ever wanted to be is a mum, because I feel like they're so well prepared for it when it comes around. I'm not saying it will, it's easier, but for me, it totally floored me, because I hadn't even, at the day of giving birth, I was still like, I didn't go to a class. I wish I'd invested more time in it, but I think that's because I didn't have anyone around me that had little kids. And yeah. So I just sort of went through it. But I think I'll say to the girls, like, I thought my career was going to be over when I had the kids. I will be honest with you. I remember leaving Heart that day. Makes me feel emotional thinking about it. You know, driving up to Cheltenham and thinking, right, my fucking career.
My life is over.
My arse off for the last 20, 15 years is done.
Yeah.
And actually, not necessarily saying they made me feel like that, but I knew there would be a younger, you know, person that would be snapping there to take that role, that, oh, look, you're doing my Mac cover, but I can stay now and I can be available all the time. So I knew that was the was going to be really difficult for me. And, you know, Made by Mamas was born out of having the kids. So how amazing that a career can come at that age, where I was 35 years old and suddenly I was doing something. I finally found my place, you know, doing entertainment, Saturday night, shiny floor stuff for ITV, asking people if they'd shagged in Fernando's. It just made me feel empty. Yeah. And now I feel so topped up. And I just, yeah, I'm really grateful for it.
I think the key word is pivot. I think we all have to learn to pivot. You have to play to what the strength is at that particular time. You know, I always wanted to be an actress. I married somebody older than me. I married very young. I then had three children. So being an actress was not really... I mean, I did continue for a while. But actually, having had children, I then retrained and became a postnatal doula for 10 years.
Did you?
Yeah, because I loved babies. I found that I loved babies. And I thought, oh, I might as well, you know, earn a living doing this for a while.
Yeah. What sort of advice were you imparting on new mums?
Well, it was interesting because I think the thing about being a postnatal doula is that you are mothering the mother. So you're not taking the baby away and just delaying the evil hour when they have to get on with it themselves. You're trying to empower them to deal with the baby that has arrived into their lives. So I always used to say, look, as quickly as they can get into a nightmare situation, they can get out of it. Remember, none of this is forever. It's an ever-changing landscape, and you just have to go with what's happening at that moment. Don't think, this is my life for the rest of my life, because it won't be. Yeah. It's always changing.
Did you, Georgia, think that we would be doing, or you would be doing something completely different?
No, that's what I was just thinking about. I was thinking, like, I haven't. I still have my day job that I've kind of always, you know, done. But actually, I think becoming a parent sort of made me give less of a care, like a fuck, I was going to say, but I don't really grab my heart.
You can say,
Michael Whitehall.
No, but I do. I care less. I'm more confident. And actually, that has allowed me to do something else in my career.
Mm.
And I wouldn't have done, I don't think, if I didn't have kids or met you.
Thanks very much. There it is. Isn't it? I think it's really interesting how you can feel more.
That's your only compliment.
She's so mean to me, guys. I think, you know, that you can feel more empowered afterwards, but you need to really, like, I don't know about you, but I think I found my voice after having kids.
Yeah.
That I felt so much more confident, weirdly, having lost myself for such a long time. I then felt like really realised who I was afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree. It's just giving you another, it gives you another, a whole layer to your life. Mm. You know, I mean, I have spent my life being somebody's wife, somebody's mother, particularly Jack Whitehall's mother. Oh, it's Jack Whitehall's mother. It's like, yes, my name is Hillary. I am a person.
I didn't put that in the intro.
We didn't put that in the intro.
In the intro. No, on purpose. No.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think you just have to view it as, it is a massive blessing. It's a massive blessing being a mother, because I have friends who have not been able to have children. And that's a big journey to be on, particularly when everyone around you is having children. Mm. So we have to embrace the fact that we've been blessed with these human beings that we've been charged with getting through to. I mean, Michael used to say to me at the weekends, he said, what are we going to do this weekend? And I go, get through it. Get them alive.
Keep them alive.
Yep. Don't know about you.
The conversation tonight really is around balancing motherhood and our careers.
I mean, I've got a whole new career age 60. With the Netflix series that we've just done with Jack, so it's called Fatherhood with My Father, and that's fine.
You sound fine.
What do we think?
I'm not bitter. I actually had another job. I had quite a big job, which I'm not going to talk about now because I didn't do it and it might come back. But I looked at the We went to Netflix and we pitched the idea, and I thought, Michael is 83. He isn't. He won't go to Putney High Street without me now. I mean, it's interesting. You see somebody's confidence slightly dented as they get older. They can't quite manage what they did. I thought, I can't do this other job. Even though Jack's PA and my other son, Barney, said, don't worry, we'll go to America with Daddy. We'll sort Daddy out. He'll be absolutely fine. I said, I don't think you're going to be in there at 8 o'clock in the morning doing his hair, talking him in through the day.
Please hold on to the banister.
You can hold on to the banister. You can do this. You will be funny, because he gets, you know, he has to kind of work up to these things. So I didn't do the job. I did that job. And actually, interestingly, on that job, there were lots of things that Michael couldn't do because the insurance company wouldn't cover him. So Jack said, oh, don't worry, Mums will do it.
What do you think, because we've got a couple of minutes left, what do you think that employers can do to support mums returning to work?
Well, funnily enough, I was talking to somebody today because we were doing this ADR, and I was talking to the production coordinator, and I was saying what I was doing tonight. She said, oh, it's interesting because there's a really big move in the media now for job sharing for women. And, you know, it's not just that you're sort of you're doing half the job. It's just how to make it easier for women to balance their lives. And apparently there's a lot of production companies now saying, actually, that's a very good idea.
Yeah. And then you get two heads as well.
Exactly. And lots of energy. Yeah.
And what piece of advice would you give to someone right now who is trying to navigate a career and motherhood?
I think you need to ditch the guilt on both fronts. I mean, inevitably, you know, you feel you're not doing either thing very well, but actually what you need to concentrate on is the positive things that you're achieving, the positive things with your children and the positive things within your job, and just try and get that negativity out of the way.
I also think that
you know, obviously we're made to feel guilty for being working mums, but also I think a lot of stay-at-home mums are made to feel guilty they're not doing what they should be doing, i.e. you know, having it all, etc. I think we just have to take the whole guilt out of the whole bloody thing.
Yes.
You know, we need to value stay-at-home mums. They're doing a great job. We need to value mums who are balancing careers with motherhood.
Yeah, and stop that. Just a stay-at-home mum.
Yeah, just
stay-at-home mum.
Fuck you.
Just.
Yeah, exactly.
Whoa. Anyone who's tried job in the world.
Job in the world.
Yeah, and pick your battles. Pick your battles on both fronts, both with your children and with your employer.
And your husbands.
And your husbands, yeah. What is the most important thing here in this? I'll let that one go. Oh, no, I'm going to pick him up on that one. Pick her up on that one. Oh. And I think also we have to try and... I think there are some female... It's that culture in so many jobs of, well, I did it. I put up with this shit environment.
Exactly.
So you put up with this shit environment. That's not a good enough argument.
No, it's not.
Just because that's what happened historically... Let's try and change the culture rather than just saying, well, I did it. You've got to do it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
What a brilliant, brilliant end to this amazing conversation. I think you'll all agree. What a legend.
Oh,
Hilary Whitehall.
Thank you so much for having
me. Thank you so much.
That was amazing.
Oh, very kind of you to have me on here. Thank you. Perhaps you'd like to come back and do the Wishing Whitehalls with us.
Oh, my God, you have guests.
We have one guest per season.
Jesus.
You could be the first double guests.
Yes. That would be good.
You heard it. I'd love to.
Brilliant.
But I'm not going to warm it up before I whip it in.
Stop it.
I'm just saying. It's what Michael says.
The only other thing we had the other day from Michael when he went completely off piste is I referenced Cardi B's WAP just to see what he said. And he, of course, completely. And he said, Cardi, who's Cardi B? I said, she's a rap singer. He said, is she related to the Earl of Cardigan?
Oh,
I said, no. Anyway, he then went off on a whole thing about the Earl of Cardigan. That's what I love. He goes off on a tangent. So.
Okay, well, we're in. We'd love to be.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah. Okay.
Sign us up.
Yeah, brilliant. Thank you so much. Lovely to see you all. Thank you for coming out. Thank you.
Oh, my God. I loved her. How great is she? Like, we were barely laughing, talking to her. But also, like, she's so real. And, like, you know, her stories about Jack and hiding girls from her husband. And also, like, the grandma guilt, that really made me laugh. Like, competitive, like, grandparents. just something you don't think of, but it's brilliant. No. I love it. Just everyone needs to play the grandparents off against each other for more childcare. That's what I learned.
I mean, literally, we were learning things left, right, and centre from Hillary, but also the way that she kind of stood in her own kind of power and confidence as somebody that, you know, may have been a certain way at certain points in her life, but then now has got to a point in her career, and, you know, like you said, being a grandma, being a wife, being a mother, but she's like, no, do you know what, I've got stuff to do here, and I'm going to come and do it. Like, she rocked up to the live and just took it all in her stride. Was absolutely brilliant. What a woman. I want her to adopt me.
She hung around till the end. Yeah. She was chatting to everybody. She didn't leave until the last guest had left. Actually unbelievable. Thank you so much, Hillary, for being, I mean, just top woman on the night.
Yes.
Like, brilliant.
We loved her.
And we've got
absolutely
to do more of them, because it was a really fun evening.
Yeah, we've kind of figured it out now, actually. So we are going to be hitting the big cities, but we're going to be doing it on a smaller scale. So, like we said, between 50 and 60 of you, find a really nice venue, much more intimate, great conversations all around motherhood and self. And we'll be giving you all the details as soon as possible. But thank you so much for listening to today's podcast. As always, we'd love you to rate, review, subscribe, and please give the podcast a follow.
Yeah, and if you've got any suggestions for guests or just in general things you want to hear from us, then just drop us a DM on Instagram. We're on @MadeByMamas, and we'll be back on Friday. Made by Mummers is an Insanity Studios production, and today's episode was produced by the lovely Charlotte Mason.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.